great opportunity to hear Pastor Alex DeBatt. He is a resident at Ransom Church. A few weeks ago, we had another resident. It was Pastor Sarah Fravel. Some of you remember her. And this is another resident, and I'm not going to steal his thunder. I'm going to let him introduce himself. But I'd like to welcome Pastor Alex DeBatt.
Thank you, Kirby. Well, my name is Alex DeBatt, and I'm pastor at the Ransom Church, or resident pastor. And what that usually means for resident pastors is I have 2 years to be at the Ransom Church just to grow both personally and professionally in ministry so that wherever God calls me after the Ransom, I get to bless there as well. And I'm originally from Michigan, and people always ask, are you going to go back to Michigan? Thank you. And I was like, I don't know. I love the lakes, but I love wherever God is going to call me. But before I get started, I would just like to say thank you for Kirby for letting me have this opportunity. But you guys have already been so welcoming to me and my girlfriend. So I'm just so thankful for your congregation. And I'm so thankful for this opportunity. And this is my first time in Madison ever. And I already like it a lot because of the bodies of water surrounding you guys. So I love that. Sioux Falls, South Dakota does not have a lot of bodies of water. So anyways, moving on is this is my second full summer at the Ransom Church. And every summer we love to celebrate our volunteers. And we do this by having a giant celebration, which we love to call Team Member Appreciation. And this happens around June of every year. And we just love to celebrate our volunteers. We bring in food trucks. We bring in a bunch of other fun little things to just let our volunteers know that they are appreciated. And one of my favorite things about this giant celebration isn't the food, even though I love the food because I'm really tall and I need a lot of food to eat. But I love the yard games that are there. So if you're anything like me, you would love to play cornhole, can jam, horseshoes, any of those kind of yard games that I just love to play with the staff or the volunteers at these things. But I'm more of a person that loves to win. So if I lose, you probably won't see me for like a day or two after. But if I win, I have the biggest smile on my face. But I believe, and you can argue against this if you want after the service, but I believe that there is a yard game that is above them all. It is the pinnacle of yard games. It is spike ball. And personally, I love spike ball. Not many people know too much about spike ball. It really, as it says in the picture there, it's if volleyball and Foursquare had a baby. But one of the best things I love about spike ball is I think it's easy to play. I think that everyone can learn how to play no matter what age you are. No matter how athletic you are, anyone can learn how to play this yard game of spike ball. But when I talk to people about this game, they're a little nervous. They have a little fear inside of them. And I talk to them, okay, why do you not like to play this game? Well, they think that this game is one of the toughest games of all time because of a video clip that I have explaining or showing a really fun match. So here's the video.
Moving on to number one, Nashburg taking on Chico at the Chicago Semis. Drop shot, another foot play by Nashburg on this top 10. This time it is Joel. This pass too far by Skyler. Nashburg gets another play on the top 10.
So, yeah, exactly. People, like, when I show them videos like this, they're like, I will never be able to play this game because, I mean, literally, he hit the ball off of his foot. I can't do that, and my feet are huge. But anyways, that is the biggest reason that people are afraid to play this game. They have this fear that they have to be athletic to play this game. But in all reality, you just have to try. And people don't really know too much about spike ball, but when it was first introduced to the public, it was introduced on the game show or the show Shark Tank. And for those who don't know what Shark Tank is, you have these millionaire investors that bring people in to propose their ideas of a certain product that they may or may not have. And this, when Spikeball came on, the investors were a little nervous because of many reasons, but the biggest two reasons are they felt that it wasn't for families and they would fear that they would lose their investment. the biggest things that the Shark Tank, when they were talking about this, were like, okay, can families play this game? And after a while and after talking, the investors, most of them said no. But at the end, there was one investor that finally said yes. After, through the fear and through the talking, he said yes, because he saw that the long-term investment outweighed the short-term fear that this game would bring. And I know that this might be a silly explanation for you guys, but in all reality, not just in the game or in the show Shark Tank, but in reality, fear can overwhelm us completely. Fear can become so powerful that it changes the way that you are, not just in thinking about your investments and thinking about what your future might bring, but thinking about your whole entire life. In a recent article focusing on fear, Linda Saab, who is a psychologist from Wayne State, said this: when people let fear become overwhelming, it can turn into a disorder. Disorders of anxiety or fear include phobias, social phobias, generalized anxiety disorder, separation anxiety, PTSD, or obsessive compulsive disorder. Without appropriate treatment, fear and anxiety can become chronic and debilitating and affect a person's life trajectory completely. So Linda explains that fear, not just fear and silly things, but fear can completely change your trajectory in life. And that can be in anything. That can be fear of a job, it can be fear of a bunch of things. But in reality, for Christians, when we talk about fear, we tend to talk about fear when it keeps us from sharing the gospel. Because fear keeps us from sharing the gospel. Did you know that there's around 1% of all Christians actually share the gospel? So there's, I don't know how many there's about in here, but for, I would say, in a room about this size, two of you would share the gospel. Two. That 1% of all Christianity and Christians share the gospel. It's a sad truth, but I believe, and I know that I believe that God wants me to share today, is the reason for this is because of fear. Fear is the ultimate thing that is overwhelming our lives and clouding us from sharing the gospel. Fear is that liar that tries to get you from not share the gospel, saying that you're not relevant anymore, or you're too old to share the gospel, or you might not be able to do this because you might lose your job, or there's a bunch of other things. But fear is the liar that tells you this. But in all reality, Christ tells us that you are bigger than this fear. But we are going to start today in turning to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And many of you probably already know this, but you can either look up on the screen or you can turn to your Bibles as we get started on what the Lord has for us today. So Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this: then Jesus came to them and said, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And I am with you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Now, I can promise you that you guys know this and probably memorized this better than I said it on stage. You know it throughout Bible studies, you've been taught this, and you probably know it better than I will ever know it. But the thing is you only know it. You don't act on it, you don't follow it, you only know it because of this fear that is in our lives. Which brings me to the second part of what fear can do. Fear can become so strong that it freezes you from your calling. All of us have a calling in this life. And you probably know this calling, but you're too afraid to act on it because fear freezes you. And one great example of this kind of fear and how it overwhelms us is in the Bible as well, when we continue on after Jesus gives the Great Commission. and what happens to them, the disciples, after Jesus leaves them. And they are overwhelmed by fear. To give a little context on this is they were fighting for their lives, because when Jesus left, there was nothing that they could do. They had no leader. They had no idea what they were supposed to do, even though God gave them this calling, and Jesus gave them this calling after he left. But they were so overwhelmed by fear that it clouded them, and they decided to get stuck in a room together and just tremble, not knowing what to do. They felt that they were going to get killed any day, and they felt that they could not do anything because of the fear in their lives. And many of you probably have had similar experiences when it comes to this kind of fear. Maybe it's a fear of losing your job. Maybe it's a fear of not being relevant. Maybe it's a fear that you just don't think that you can connect with anyone. And maybe this fear is so overwhelming that you just don't actually have an excuse. And for me, though, I definitely had this fear for most of my life. See, most of you probably don't know me that well. And for me, when I was in eighth grade, I dislocated my knee, and that spiraled into 9 surgeries after that. And the enemy came into my life after surgery of just lying to me about this kind of fear. He kept on saying that I wasn't worthy. He kept on saying that I could not do anything, because every single time I tried to get back up and try to do something again, I would just dislocate my knee again, or I would have to have another surgery or something like that, where I just kept on continuing to just hear the words from the enemy saying that I'm not worthy, I cannot do this, God is not with me. But I finally sat down in the presence of God to hear him say that you are loved, you are worthy, you are my child of God, and I've called you to do greater things. You see, without God inside of us, we are not able to overcome the world or the fear that the world brings around us. Fear is extremely powerful when you get it, let it take a hold of you. But the Spirit of God is more powerful than fear will ever be. I want you to hear that today. If you hear nothing else, hear this, that the Spirit of God inside of us is more powerful than fear can ever be. And we are able to overcome this fear because of God. We can turn what people now call the Great Suggestion and back into the Great Commission. But many of you have heard this over and over and over again, that the power of God inside of us is greater than the around us, or that we have the power because of Christ in us to do far greater things. Many of you have heard this over and over again, but your life doesn't change, nothing happens, and fear is still overwhelming in your life. So what do you do? Well, great question, Alex. So the things that you do, we have 2 great examples in the Bible that tell us how to continue to show the love of God and to tell his name to those around us, even if there is fear surrounding you and if there's fear inside of you. And the first example that we have is where we left off when Jesus left the disciples. They were terrified in this room. They had no idea what they were supposed to do. But they knew one thing that they were supposed to do. They're supposed to wait in prayer. And that is what I believe that God wants us to do here today, and what God wants you to know today, is that if fear is surrounding your life, if fear is in your life, you first must wait in prayer. If you fear that you might lose your job, you have to wait in prayer. If you fear as though you might not be enough, wait in prayer. If you fear that you might not have the courage to talk to your friends about Christ, or even talk to your spouse or talk about those you work with, wait in prayer. But then you might ask, well, Alex, how long am I supposed to wait? Great question again. So you're supposed to wait for however long God wants you to. But specifically, the disciples in this certain situation waited 40 days. So I challenge you, Living Hope, today to wait for 40 days in the presence of God to overcome this fear that you may have. And the waiting doesn't mean that you're supposed to like sit in a chair and just twiddle your thumbs and do nothing. Because God is not a one-sided God. We're not supposed to be completely doing nothing while God is trying to do everything. No, we have been commissioned to do something. And that looks like, it could look like sitting in prayer, reading scripture, meditating on God's word for 40 days as you open up about the fears that you might have in your life. Or it might look like opening up to your spouse and talking to them about what kind of fears that you have in your life and being open and honest with them and praying about that. Because you know that old saying, those who pray together, stay together. Huh. That's a great saying, I think. But we are supposed to wait in prayer to combat this fear that the enemy tries to put in our lives. And the thing is, Living Hope, we all have fears in our lives. Every single one of us. But the way and the things that we look to help us fight this fear really shows who you truly are. In one book that I'm reading for my residency called Home Run, John Maxwell and Kevin Myers, Kevin Myers is a pastor of 12 Stone Church in Atlanta, Georgia, talk about how Christians and non-Christians are not really different at all. You don't really see much of a difference. John Maxwell states in this book that there is a little difference between the amounts that Christians and non-Christians earn, spend, save, charge, or donate to charities. Then he continues on by saying, believers seem to struggle with pornography and lust just as much as non-believers. And according to researcher George Barna, divorce rates of Christians, or for Christians and non-Christians, are virtually identical at 32 to 33%. And while John goes on to explain his reasons in this book, I feel that there is a completely other reason that John doesn't state, and it is fear. A lot of us look to other things to try to give us this sense of security. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your job, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's something else. But we tend to look to others and other things before we look to God when fear comes into our lives. And what God is wanting us and wanting you, Living Hope, to know today is you have to sit in prayer, wait in prayer, meditate on God's word when you are going through hard, fearful times. So I challenge you that first today is take 40 days to pray and wait in the Lord. But then there's some moments where as the 40 days or as the days continue on, you don't feel anything, you don't see anything, and you're like, oh, what am I supposed to do if life continues to go on, if I'm supposed to go back to school and I've waited, or if I'm supposed to go back to my normal life and all of that. But when we look to 1 Timothy 1:1-5, this is a great example of what we should do when the world continues on. So if you would turn with me to 1 Timothy 1:1-5, we'll go to our second example of how to combat this fear that is so prevalent in our lives today. And it says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the command of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So when we look at these verses, the first four really give us an explanation of why Paul is writing 1 Timothy in general. Timothy is afraid because he is in Ephesus, which one commentator says, in the ancient world, Ephesus was a center of travel and commerce, situated on the Aegean Sea at the mouth of the Castor River. The city was one of the greatest seaports in the ancient world. And being one of the greatest seaports of the ancient world means that there was a lot of people coming in. It was a metropolis of its time. And that means that there's a bunch of different religions, a bunch of different sects of different kinds of religions coming in and trying to influence Ephesus. So Timothy was afraid that he would not be able to make an impact for Christ there because of the amount of different religions, but also because there was false religion peeking into the Ephesus church. Paul then tells him what to do in a situation where he feels that he cannot go and teach the gospel. And he says this, which where we will stick at for the rest of our time. He says this in verse 5. The goal of this command, the command to share the love of Christ, or share the gospel of Christ, is love, which comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. So Paul is saying that love is the reason for everything. Love is the reason that we need to share the faith of others. So the second thing that you need to know, and with waiting and prayer, we need to not only wait in prayer, but we need to replace our fear with love. Love is the core that we need, but not just any kind of love. A commentator says this: this kind of love that Paul wants us to show is the kind of disinterested and self-donative love that holds community. That is the kind of love that Paul wants us to be filled with today. As we wait in prayer, we need to sit in this and ask for this kind of love. But Paul explains in a little more depth of what kind of love that he needs us, but specifically Timothy and us, to know. That this kind of love comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. And what Paul means by pure heart, it means that you need to know if your motivations are pure, if your motivations are right. And what he means by good conscience is you need to be smart in where you share the gospel and be not afraid when you have to share the gospel. And the last is having a sincere faith, where more literally it says an unhypocritical faith. Most Christians today are not able to share because they see unbelievers see them as hypocritical. They do stuff when they are told, when they tell them, the non-believers, oh, you shouldn't do that, but they do the same things. We need to be confident in loving others from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. One final thought, though, before we go, is one of the reasons that I love Spikeball so much isn't because I win a lot, because I do, but anyways. The biggest reason that I love it is because you need a community to play the game. You need at least three other people to play with you for it to actually be fun. And that is similar to sharing the gospel with Christianity too. You cannot share the gospel alone. You need a community to help you show the gospel to others. Find someone, if you don't already have someone, find someone to help you understand and learn how to take this time to wait in prayer and have this kind of love that Paul talks about. Because what it says in 1 John 4, verse 8 or 18, it says, perfect love casts out all fear. Say that again. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear that is inside of us, fear that is around us, and fear that is in those around us as well. So my hope for you today is to know this, that the Spirit of God that is inside of you is more powerful than the fear that this world has around us. And we live in a big time of fear, where we feel that we can't even close and lock our doors without being afraid that something might happen to our kids or something that might happen to us. But with this perfect love and with the Spirit inside of us, we can do greater things, far greater things than what Christ did on this earth. So I want you guys to open your hands. I want you guys to bow your heads as we wait in prayer and wait in the presence of God for this Spirit to be more tangible than we've ever felt it. So let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are so thankful for you. We are so in love with you, God. God, your presence is here with us right now, but we pray for even more of it. We pray for the courage. We pray for the love to be able to cast this fear out of our lives and cast this fear out of others as well. God, you are so good, so I pray that we wait in you and that we wait in your presence and that we just thank you for what you are doing in our lives. Give us the heart, give us the mind, and give us the right actions to go and spread your kingdom. And let's have fun doing it as well. We love you. In your name, amen.